Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Well, it was just last week when I was on Eric's podcast, and then the week before that, he was on this podcast. So we decided to have a conversation and said, you know what, maybe we should keep doing this. Like, I go on your podcast, and you come on my podcast to do this all the time. So that's exactly what we're doing. He's Eric Gargiulo from CamelClutchBlog.com and that podcast. And now he's going to be a regular guest here on this podcast every other week. And I'll be on his every other week. And it's just kind of like this kind of synergy thing going on there, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it. You know, I mean, it's like you said, we wind up having these conversations quite often throughout the year. And every time we've done each other's shows now going back to the 90s. I mean, can you believe it? We've been doing each other's shows now going back to the 90s.
I'm an old man.
Yeah, me too. That's pretty frightening. But yeah, we've been doing this going back to the 90s, and we've always had a good time. So yeah, as long as the schedule works out for me, as long as I always see you on Facebook eating something delicious over the weekends at some food truck festival with your wife. So as long as you're away from the food truck for enough time to record the podcast, I'm available.
Now, here's the thing, though. We're doing this podcast, and I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to promise that Seth Rollins will not get injured again before this podcast goes up. Unlike what happened with your podcast last week.
Yes, yes. So for those of you out there that went a little behind the scenes look at the frustrations that one could have in doing these podcasts, and this goes for blogging too, and Brian and I had this conversation before we went on the air. Brian and I did a podcast the morning after Seth Rollins got injured for my website. And at that time, you know, all the reports were that Rollins just had a knee tweak, although nobody confirmed it and everybody said that he was going to get tested. But all the reports were that he had a knee tweak. So I thought it was safe to proceed. And I sat on it, which was good. I sat on the podcast. I was going to release it a couple hours later, went to the gym, hung out, did some more blogging. And then all of a sudden, Seth Rollins out 6 to 9 months. So
now the best was that you didn't know about it yet until I sent you a message and you're like, no,
that's right. I was checked out for the day at that point. And Brian, being the consummate professional that he is, he rescheduled his time with me. Then I was having technical difficulties in recording. I mean, just what a bear.
I rescheduled twice, my man. I was ready to do it earlier. And we said, you know what? Let's do it tonight.
You did. You rescheduled twice. You are a consummate professional, and I can't thank you enough for that. And we finally got it out, and I spliced it in there. And due to the wonderful technology of Adobe Audition, you would never even know that you were listening to two different podcasts spliced together.
How about that technology? I like it.
Yes, yes, it was seamless. The the audio levels were exactly the same. I mean, you couldn't even tell.
I'm glad it worked out that way. Let's talk about how this tournament's working out for WWE. So they've got the world title tournament. We saw the first round on Raw, and then they'll continue that on SmackDown. We're taping this on a Wednesday night, so we're a day ahead of SmackDown. And but we already know what's going to happen, and we'll probably have a couple of spoilers just to warn everybody. But we know who's advancing in the first round. You know,
honestly, Brian, I haven't even read the SmackDown spoilers.
All right. Well, you know, I don't know if I'll spoil them, but imagine.
As you started talking about it, I brought them up. I'm like, man, I should know these things if he's going to go there. So
there's only one kind of surprise that's on there. But here was my thing. Okay. So
there is.
Yeah. There was, I think there was a lot of people. There was some people that really thought, like, okay, WWE's got to do something kind of out of the box to really make this tournament really stand out. So does that mean they're going to put some big names in there? Can they bring some guys back? You know, and I don't know if they tried to get guys back, or even if they wanted to, could they? Because they're going to be doing the shows in England. It wasn't like they were here in the United States. And they might have just said, you know what? We've got a roster that people keep saying, you know, they want opportunities. So let's just go with that.
Yeah,
I was still surprised by some of the names that were in the tournament and some of the guys that weren't, because You know, I know you've got a feud going on with Taker and Bray Wyatt, but those two guys, and probably even Kane, say what you will about him, mm-hmm. how they're not in this tournament, to me, seem pretty crazy. And then, you know, why was Titus O'Neil in this? Why was Kalisto in this? Why was Stardust in this? You can make an argument why Miz was in it. You know,
how come? And nobody, not one member of New Day in the tournament.
Right. And the New Day even pointed it out on TV, which made total sense. Like, yeah. Hello, we're the tag champs, and why are we not in this? I thought at least Big E should have been in it.
Yes. 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 Absolutely. He was the guy I was thinking was a natural. And like you said, Bray Wyatt. I mean, you know, I know they had their matches slotted in already for Survivor Series, but there were certainly creative ways around it. I mean, you could have easily have had Bray Wyatt and Kane in there in an opening round matchup. They could have went to a double disqualification, or you could have had Undertaker interfere in Bray Wyatt's match, and then you could have had the Wyatts interfere in Kane's match. I mean, there were certainly ways, you know, of getting around things so you could still maintain the card that you originally planned, as opposed to, you know, deviating from your plan. So here's the thing, Brian, you know, I went back, about a year and a half ago, well, maybe like 2 years ago or so, I put up a blog about the history of vacated WWE championships. That's all it was I just took a look at the WWE championships throughout history that were vacated, the world title. And then over the years, I've updated the blog, like when Daniel Bryan got hurt, and now it's set. So what I did was I went back and I looked at the vacancies in the modern era of wrestling, going back to 2007, when John Cena tore his pec against Kennedy, he had that injury on Raw, and they had to vacate the title then. So they've had four major vacancies since that time. You had Cena in 07, you had Batista a couple of years later, you had Daniel Bryan, and you had Seth Rollins. And so what I did was I started doing a little digging, and I was looking around to see how Vince McMahon reacted each time when he had his champion go down, because it's nothing you could plan for. He obviously had other plans on the books at the time, so he had to think fast. And I remember, and I'm sure you do too, because you and I have been doing this for a long time and watching wrestling for a long time. You know, I remember during these times, and even going back to 2007, people were hoping that it would shake things up with Cena getting hurt and them having to take the title away from him and put a new champion on. And wouldn't you know it, Brian, but in every situation, what Vince McMahon did in every single situation is he went with his pat hand. He went with veterans like Randy Orton. He went with Triple H. He went with Randy Orton. He went with Triple H. He went with those guys most of the time. Randy Orton from Batista and Triple H, et cetera, et cetera. And what he did during those times, and I looked at the timeline, is he would go to his pat hand right away, and it would buy him time. So then they would eventually shake things up, like go to a Jeff Hardy and an Edge, you know, down the line, or go to Brock Lesnar later. But it wasn't the initial title change. What he would do, instead of being – and I respect him for this as a businessman, is instead of being backed into a corner and reacting, he said – he puts the brakes on it. He says, let's go with my trusted guy. Let's buy us some time, and then let's see how things play out, as opposed to making an irrational decision and shocking, quote unquote, shocking the world and doing what might be good to a spike of television rating, but might not be good for overall business. So, you know, once I went back and I looked at how Vince reacted in those past situations, I immediately saw that there was no way that he was going to shake things up. There was no way that he was going to pull off this major surprise or this major angle, and that he was either going to go with his pat hand or he was – I mean, Roman Reigns was going to get the belt anyway, so you're not really deviating if you go with Reigns. But for him to shake things up, I just didn't see it happen. I think he's going to go with something very conservative for the next couple of weeks, and then wait to see how things play out, and then I think you'll see things shake up at the Royal Rumble.
Well, I think that, to me, I wasn't surprised by what he did. And I don't think he necessarily needed to bring in a big name or, you know that quote-unquote star power. But I think that they're going to do something out of the box and maybe change it up. I think that will come in the finals.
Yeah.
If they go that route, and obviously there's a couple of things they can do, whether it's somehow Kevin Owens coming out of it, or do we see a heel turn? I mean, the final should be Reigns and Ambrose.
Yeah.
Right? And then mm-hmm. if you want to do something like, you know, Reigns turns heel and does join the Authority, because, you know, he could do that still. Or what if they did something where it kind of looked like Triple H was, you know, still buddying up Reigns, you know, leading into that finals, and it was Ambrose that turned heel, because they still need a top heel.
Yeah.
You know, even when John Cena comes back. So, I mean, there's still some stuff that they can do there. You know, I guess some of it, too, when it came to the tournament, was a little bit of out of sight, out of mind, because you're sitting there saying, okay, this is for the World Heavyweight Championship, but yet there's no John Cena and there's no Brock Lesnar. Now, they're not going to be a part of it. They just can't get them. I mean, Cena's off to another project, and Brock is lost in the woods killing Bambi. But,
yeah. And it may not be financially feasable for them to pay Brock for his extra date just because Seth got hurt.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Say, hey, Brock, you know, oh, he's going to hold you over a barrel for it, so you're really going to give him like another couple $100,000 to do it. So, but I almost wonder if they should have mentioned why they weren't in it, come up with excuses. Like, Cena is on sabbatical. He says that he needs time off right now as much as he would like to be the world champion, but he can't. You know, Brock Lesnar, you know, they could do something with Paul Heyman and says, hey, you know what? Titles just aren't important to Brock, okay? He's been the champion. Titles, you know, are not why he does this.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he comes back, he goes, he can get the championship anytime he wants. So if he wants to come back and if he wants to go after the championship, he can. You know, I kind of wish we had that explanation, but at the same time, I guess they're probably thinking, like, let's just not bring it up, and then maybe people won't think about it that much. But then you put in, like I said, you put in Kalisto, you put in Titus, and you're sitting going, wait, you're doing a 16-man tournament for the biggest prize in WWE, and those guys are in this?
That's an excellent point. I never even thought of that. And you're absolutely right. And I mean, it's pro wrestling. They have, 100 creative writers on staff? Somebody surely could have come up with something plausible that you could have put out there as to a reason why those guys weren't there. You're absolutely right. Because, you know, I mean, you and I and the people that listen to this show and read our websites, they know why those guys aren't in the tournament. But, you know, the majority of fans might not. So for the majority of fans that are tuning into this tournament, they're saying, where's Cena? Where's Lesnar? Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there are plausible things you could have done to explain them not being there. But they really should have for that fan. But, you know, going back to...
Well, it doesn't excuse why Taker and Wyatt are not in it, though. I don't care that they're feuding and they've got a match already, you know, laid out for Survivor Series.
I don't even know why. We saw the match on Monday. I don't even know what's left. We saw them get their revenge. They got their choke slams. I don't even know why you'd have the match.
Well, the crazy thing is, okay, so the two men in Kane and Taker took out the four men in the Wyatt family. So what are we getting at Survivor Series? A traditional two-on-two tag team match.
I mean, I don't get it. I really didn't get that. I watched that. And I thought to myself, well, this is great. Now I don't have to watch Survivor Series because I'm seeing them get their revenge. And it wasn't even as if they were just coming down and clearing the ring. I mean, they got their revenge. You got to see your choke slams. You got to see your double teams.
They got their souls back now. I mean, you know, you could have said it was a handicap match before because even if it was 2-on-2 because, you know, they didn't have their souls. But now it looks like they've got them back. And what's the point of having the power of Thunder and Lightning when you don't even use it, Bray Wyatt?
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, going back to – I just want to touch on something you said about the tournament. Going back to the tournament and taking a look and kind of predicting how it goes, I definitely think they need a major heel out of this because, you know, without a major heel, then there's nothing for the Authority to do. They need somebody unless Hunter's getting back in the ring and he's not getting back in the ring full time. And without their, you know, without their guy, there's no reason for the Authority to be there. So that makes them irrelevant. And you know that they don't want to be irrelevant. So they have to have a heel come out of this. So my thinking is, I mean, it's almost classic old school wrestling in that you have, and I'm sure we've seen this angle a million times, but you have the Authority trying to tease their deal with Roman Reigns, and Roman keeps saying no, but then all of a sudden Roman does something to Dean that all of a sudden kind of, you know, gets his, you know, gets his guard up. And then Dean starts, you know, with the, with all this, and then they're pointing fingers back and forth, and they finally, they wind up going to the finals. And you know, we've all been seeing the seeds planted for Dean Ambrose heel turn now for months, which would be the predictable choice, but then it winds up being Roman. It winds up where everybody thinks Dean's going to turn, but Dean winds up not turning, but then it is Roman, because Dean Ambrose is not going to be the authority guy. I mean, he just doesn't fit into that role.
Right.
It's just, yeah. Roman Reigns is that guy. And, you know, and the other thing I did too was I took a look at the landscape of heel challengers and babyface challengers. And there's really no money in a babyface champion right now. I mean, a heel champion, you have Brock down the line, you have Ambrose, you have Cena. I mean, that's, and you have Seth when he comes back. But a heel champion right now, but a babyface champion right now, you really have nobody at this point in time.
Right. It makes a lot more sense, and I think it solves a lot of issues.
Yes.
If it's Roman Reigns as a heel, as the champion, thinking about who the potential matchups can be. Like, as you said, you know, Ambrose just doesn't really fit that role. I mean, I can't imagine them saying he's going to do the classic, you know, get a haircut, come out in a suit kind of thing. I mean, that to me, that just won't work.
No.
Reigns can pull that off, and I think it solves a lot of things. The only thing it doesn't solve, and you know this is probably going to be a factor in it, is the fact that his merchandise is the second best-selling merch in that company right now. And that goes away the second you turn him heel.
Yeah, you know, and that's big. And especially at a time right now when they're trying to transition Cena out and Cena's not even there to begin with. You're right. And it certainly does play a factor in it. However, at the same time, as we've seen, the right merchandise and the right heel that has an edge to him, like a cool edge to him, will sell just as much merch, NWO, as your top babyface. So if they're confident that they think they could find that right balance with Reigns, then I think they go for it. But yeah, you're absolutely right that at the end of the day, this is a public company and they have shareholders they have to answer to. And this guy's bringing in a lot of money in merch sales, and then all of a sudden that money's gone because they're trying to fill a storyline. They have to answer some questions. But if they can come up with some cool merchandise and they can find a balance to kind of make him a cool heel, then I don't really think you have anything to worry about.
How about this one, too? So on the WWE website, they actually have a poll asking fans if Roman Reigns should turn heel, basically.
Yeah, and this is exactly what I'm talking about is, you know,
you know what the voting is on this right now?
What is it?
50-50.
That's awesome.
The exact poll is, should Roman Reigns have accepted Triple H's offer on Raw? And I just voted, and I said, yes, it's 50-50. And there's 27,273 votes right now.
Well, Brian, I am going to be the one to break that tie. Once my internet connection speeds up, I will break that tie before the end of the show.
Nice.
I will not tell you, I will not reveal which side of the fence that I will be placing my vote on, but I will be breaking that tie at some point during the show.
Good.
Yes.
You know, it's funny, too, when it comes
wait
to...
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Stop me for a second. So The Undertaker is going to be on The Tonight Show?
Oh, yeah. And so is Brad Maddox.
What?
They're doing a skit that they already pre-taped for The Tonight Show.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. We're just giving you material for the blog.
Yeah. You know, it just goes to show that running a blog and doing these podcasts, it really is a full-time job.
It is, man. It absolutely is.
Yeah. And you know, I just don't want a full-time job.
You know, when it comes to the tournament, though, like, okay, that's fine. You're keeping it in-house. I can disagree with the different people that you have on there. And I thought, you've got some of the big names you're not utilizing to make this feel like a big deal. But I think there was some missing things, too, when it came to some of the promos talking about the importance of the belt. Or could they have done something where you talk about the history and the lineage and the importance of the World Heavyweight Championship and guys saying, you know what, I want this opportunity. You know, I've been waiting for an opportunity like this, and now I'm part of this tournament. I'm one of only 16 people that gets to be in this tournament. You know, this is an opportunity for me to step up and show that I am world championship material, and I'm going to be the next world champion, you know?
Yeah.
And they did none of that.
No, and, you know, I mean, it is a little soon, so maybe as we get to the Survivor Series, maybe they go down that road. But that said, too, it doesn't hold as much water when you're doing it at the end of the tournament than putting that kind of emphasis at the beginning of the tournament with everybody hungry for it. At the same time, kind of hard to take any of that seriously when you see guys like Kalisto in the tournament.
Didn't you want to see Ryback cut that promo and then have his hopes and dreams dashed at the first round?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I mean, the great thing about sports, about professional sports is history is, you know, is reliving those rivalries and those great moments. I mean, hell, the NFL has an entire network where 75% of the footage is classic stuff where you're reliving history. And the WWE, they have so much history. And I've always felt that fans like you and I, and a lot of the people that are listening to our show, the ones that have been watching for a long time, I feel like we're never rewarded the way that NFL, you know, the NFL and other sports are. I mean, it's like any other sport. You know, you talk about somebody's classic no-hitter in baseball, and the people that watched it, you know, they stand up proud, be like, I was here, you know, when this guy pitched a no-hitter, or I was here when, you know, Montana, you know, won the Super Bowl.
Threw it to Clark, yeah.
Yeah, threw it to Clark. I was blanking out for a second there. Yeah, threw it to Clark. Where, you know, in wrestling, you don't get that. Well, the WWE, you don't get that, and it's really a shame. I mean, you do at WrestleMania time. They go down that road, but you know, with the world title, I mean, man, you know, there's so much history that they have in their archives that they never utilize it.
No, they don't. You know, I just want to feel like this is going to be an important tournament, and you know. When you saw the ratings for Raw, I mean,
yes.
They once again went down. I mean, the third hour was under 3 million people viewing. It was like 2.86
yes.
or something like that. So, I mean, it's crazy. But you know what the thing is? I mean, we'll sit here and we'll analyze it. Of course, they want better ratings, okay? But at the same time, they'll sit there and go, well, let's look at our bottom line. You know, the network's got more subscribers on a regular basis, and we're going to get another spike when it comes to Rumble and Mania time. And hopefully we can keep some more of those people and continue to expand into other areas. Our merchandise is doing well, you know, and there's different areas where, you know, as a bottom line, as a company, you know, and plus with the TV rights deals that they negotiated, even though they weren't the numbers that they thought they were going to get, they were better than their previous deals as a company. They're doing really well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's what's really scary is that they are doing well, but yet their product has, you know, it just makes you wonder, Brian, that at some point, if they rethink this entire model of these television ratings, and like, I don't really get it. Like, I mean, I get it. I mean, I understand it. I can read their numbers, but it just boggles my mind how they could be so strong, but yet the television ratings show something completely different.
Right. Between that and, you know, that's showing that there is a lack of interest in your product. That's why I continually say WWE is becoming a big event thing. You know, that's
yes.
what it's all about is the big event. You know, it's when we do get that big Floyd Mayweather fight or when, you know, we've got the Super Bowl, when, you know, there's these bigger, you know, the big UFC shows, you know, when Ronda Rousey's fighting or well, as long as she's not fighting Holly Holm, which might be a big fight this weekend. But
you never know.
Yeah, you know. So, I mean, that's what it's become. It's about WrestleMania, the pub that we get with that mainstream. It's going to be a big show. Same for SummerSlam. We put both of those shows in high-profile areas, you know. And
yes.
the rest of the year, we do the best that we can, and we try to get the ratings for Raw. But it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right with the big events, but as a wrestling fan, that just becomes incredibly frustrating, doesn't it?
Oh, for the people that want to watch on a week-to-week basis, absolutely it does.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it really does.
I mean, how long, I mean, can you keep this up from a standpoint of, you know, you've now got investors in the company and people buying the stock, and you have signed off on this 3 hours for Raw that you can't go back on. but it's detrimental to your product when it comes to your, you know, week to week viewers. And
yeah.
Because now you're asking them, you know, to watch 5 hours of programming a week, you know, just on TV. That's not counting NXT. That's not counting the network. And
right.
then there's going to be that once a month where there's also the pay-per-view or whatever you want to call it now. So I mean, that's a lot, you know. And, you know, I understand why they go public and for the different deals that they can do and everything. But
sure.
I kind of wish it was still a privately owned company just from that standpoint, because it's unlike, okay, you know what? If we know that this is going to be bad for us long term, it's great for a cash grab to get that third hour where we make an extra, you know, whatever it is, $20 million a year. But if we know, man, it's going to hurt our storylines, it's going to hurt, you know, us overall, and we'd like to have just a stronger number for Raw that we can build on, then, you know, wouldn't that be, you know, make a lot of sense too, that, you know, they don't have to do it. They don't feel as much pressure to do it when you're a private company. You can do other things that you can't do once you're publicly traded and you're in the hands of stockholders and all these other people and in the public's eye like you are.
Yeah, and you know, and it makes it, I mean, it just makes the show much more palatable under 3 hours. And it's funny because, you know, I mean, you would think some of the people that work at WWE are wrestling fans. I mean, I know not everybody there is a wrestling fan, but you'd think that some of them are. All they have to do is watch their own show and they could see that weakness. But, you know, I mean, it's so hard. It's so hard for us to argue that, because the first thing that somebody's going to say is they're going to point to the numbers, they're going to point to the business, and they're going to say, you know, that we don't know what we're talking about. And you know what? They're right in regards to business.
Yeah, if they're making money. They're making plenty of money.
Yeah, they're making plenty of money. And, you know, whether we find it palatable or not, they're still making the money. They're still getting the television deals. I mean, what it's really going to take is for somebody like the USA Network or whoever to just say, no, we're not giving you the third hour because we can sell better ads, you know, through reruns and movies like they did when they kicked Nitro off the air. So, you know, I don't think it's ever going to come from WWE saying we don't want that third hour anymore. I think it's going to be the networks. Otherwise, that third hour, I don't think is going anywhere.
Yeah, it's not. So one more thing about the tournament. So, is there any question on who the final four are going to be? Because to me, and there's nothing wrong with knowing who they are, you know, or if they go this route.
Yeah.
But to me, it's got to be Reigns, Del Rio, Owens, and Ambrose.
Yeah, I mean, those are the likely ones. I thought that they could have shaken it up and had Ryback wind up going, you know, to a, you know, Ryback and Reigns having a match. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Yeah, and that was the other thing too about the Reigns heel turn that kind of tipped me off, is why would you, if you were going to have Reigns win the title as a babyface, why in the world would you give away the Reigns Alberto Del Rio match now, even more so with Reigns beating him? Because that leaves nothing left for you know, for a potential program. Because to me, that's one of the big ones. You know, Reigns is a babyface and Alberto as a challenger. So the fact that they're pivoting to that now with Alberto and Reigns going over Alberto tells me that they just want to get it over with. They want to get the match over with and move on. And that's another tip off to me that Reigns is going heel.
Well, here's another one that I'll give you. Okay, so it was Cesaro going over Sheamus, which is rather curious. So some people say, well, they want to keep Sheamus away from Reigns because he's got the money in the bank. And maybe that opens the door to that. I really thought that they would have done the Roman Sheamus match, though, because people are going to definitely cheer Roman over Sheamus.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, if they really want to give him that babyface push, then that's what they do. But they're putting him in there with Cesaro. And you can look at this one of two ways. Number one, they're setting up potential feuds in the future for Reigns as a heel champion. Or two, you could sit there and say, you know what, the crowd's going to do what they're going to do, okay? And we can't control that. You know, they're going to boo Roman, they're going to boo Roman. But the way that we can get Roman over and the way that they have been getting him over and getting him more cheered is by having him go out in the ring and have great matches. And he can have a very good match with Sheamus, but the thinking is, well, he could probably have a better match with Cesaro.
But that blows my mind, because they finally got Reigns the momentum that they have worked very hard to get him, and it's taken a long time to get that back. And for them to put him on television against Cesaro, where he's going to get booed out, I mean, you know, he's got to be a big boy and take it, but that just really boggled. That one is a stunner right there. But again, if that's the guy they're looking to turn heel, then they probably don't care at this point.
Yeah. Well, how about this? You know, that's all. So obviously we keep talking about WrestleMania and the plans that have changed there. So the Wrestling Observer had a report that said, oh, by the way, so Rock's not wrestling at WrestleMania because of, you know, the movies that he's attached to and an insurance policy, you know, because he's been injured in the past. And, you know, these production companies are worried about him getting injured again. So he'll be at Mania, or he's expected to be there, but not wrestling. So you're not going to get The Rock against Triple H. You're not going to get Rock against Brock, which I never thought we were going to get anyway. But now it was just like, oh, well, you know, it was going to be Rock against Triple H, but they've known for a while that's not going to happen. So it was going to be Triple H against Seth Rollins, and now that's off. So, you know, we're resetting everything and seeing where everything is going to fit now. So who knows if Triple H is even going to be on that show? I would think he is.
I would think so for 32. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, Rock's not going to wrestle, it looks like. He'll have some kind of role, but a non-wrestling role. And you're sitting there going, okay, then what are they going to do for the top of the card? Because I guess the belief was it was going to be Roman against Cena, but now I think I've said this for a little while, and I think this is the direction they're going to go. I think it's going to be Roman against Lesnar.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems like it's the way that they're going to go. But another rumor that I've heard is that they were looking to go with Roman against Cena. Have you heard that as well?
Well, that's what they've been talking about, I guess. But I think they're changing that plan. I don't think they're going to do that now with all the shakeups and figuring out where they're going to go. I mean, maybe they still will, but, you know, to me at this point, I probably would do the Reigns against Lesnar and then Cena against Taker. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're all hell-bent on doing something with one of the Wyatt, with, you know, Braun Strowman or whoever from the Wyatt family against Taker, which to me is a horrible, horrible decision. But, it's funny because I've heard, you know, everybody goes, oh, it's Vince McMahon loves those big versus big guys, which he does. But it's also Taker loves them, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, if Taker wants to do it, you know, then that's probably what they're going to
do.
But let's hope not. But, yeah, I think Cena against them would have been better. It's funny because people had said, well, you know, Rollins wasn't going to be – he was going to lose the belt at Survivor Series, okay, if he was healthy. It was going to be Roman getting the win, and then they're going to rematch it at TLC, and Roman would retain. And then by the time Mania came around, Rollins was not going to be in, you know, any of the top two or three matches.
Yeah.
But does that mean it would have been Rollins against Triple H? Or, you know, I even heard, and I maybe this is somebody just kind of speculating more than really knowing anything, but they were wondering, like, could it have been Rollins versus Taker was what maybe the plan could have been. I think Rollins, obviously Rollins against Triple H was definitely talked about, but maybe Rollins against Taker was going to be discussed when they still thought they had Rock against Triple H. But I don't know where that would have put Cena at that point, but there's just so many different things, and now they're going to have to change it up. But, you know, we all sit here and talk about, you know, it's WrestleMania, and you better have a damn good card to put 100,000 people in there and to really stack it up. And now you don't have Rock. Ronda Rousey's not going to wrestle on that show, and it seems doubtful she's even going to appear on it.
Yeah.
And you might have to, you know, you're without the guy that has been your top heel for the last 6 months. So I don't know who else you're going to bring in, but it sure seems like you're destined right now to go with a rematch of the main event you had last year.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not a bad idea, but I don't know what's going to be supporting underneath to – I mean, there's also the buzz about Batista, too. There's been talk about Batista and Triple H.
Well, it's some Batista's wanted.
Yeah.
So maybe they could go that route. I think we're going to get I think we're getting Ambrose against Jericho.
Uh-huh.
I think that's been in the works, though. I mean, we saw the way that Jericho left, and – even when I talked to him for about 25th anniversary piece for Fox Sports, and I asked him about Mania, and he goes, well, you know, if they got something good for me, you know, and he wouldn't say it, but there was a strong inclination that he was going to be there, and he really felt like it was going to be against Ambrose. And I think those two guys Let them do their promos leading up to it. Let them have the match.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. Put them off on the island and they'll be great. You know, that whole thing will be great. So I'm not worried about that. But yeah, I'm going to be curious to see where they go with some of this. And that's, you know what? The way that everything is setting up right now, though, to go back to it, they need a strong heel champion right now. And Reigns makes the most sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't think of anybody else. I mean, obviously Cena's not turning heel. I mean, they're not going there.
Do you really think it would be Kevin Owens? And I like KO, and I think he's a great heel, but I don't think they're going to go that route again where you're going to have a double champion right off when they just did it.
No, I don't think it's going to be Kevin Owens because I don't think he fits the mold as to what they're looking for right now as a world champion. And I'm not saying that I disagree that I agree with that. I'm just saying that I don't think it's what they're looking for right now in that Seth Rollins role. And maybe he'll get there at some point, but I don't think it's now. And I think that I don't think it would serve him well to do that right now anyway, because I think he needs to be rehabilitated a little bit before they get to that point.
Well, they got to rehabilitate Sheamus too before they do a cash-in, whether he wins or loses.
Yeah, you know, the Sheamus thing is interesting because if Reigns goes heel, maybe Sheamus turns. I don't know, but I don't think Sheamus is getting the belt. I just don't think it's happening. I think if anything, you know, Sheamus could cash in and Reigns could beat him again, but then that makes him a babyface. So I don't know. The whole Sheamus thing is really interesting, isn't it, though?
It is. I mean, the only way they could do it is if they turn Sheamus, they turn Roman, and they hold off on it for a couple of months, and people kind of are behind Sheamus.
Yeah.
And you put Roman in a position where, as the heel champion finally getting his, I'm not saying, you know, like he's in a bad position, and people just hate his guts, and they don't want to see him as champion anymore. And then here comes Sheamus. Roman's already been through a grueling match, or he's beaten up, or whatever, and Sheamus is going to win the belt from him, and then doesn't. You know, just to really infuriate people more and keep that title on Reigns. And by the way, too, you know, we talk about, you know, Rollins, you know, now out 6 to 9 months, and he had a surgery. He's got to be a babyface when he comes back, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, if you read the interviews that he's doing, on WWE.com and the things he's saying, I mean, it's all very babyface-ish. Now, I don't put a lot of stock into that because I just don't think guys stay in character the way that they used to. So I don't necessarily think that is, you know, completely indicative, but it sure seems that that's where he's going.
Well, even if he turned heel, I mean, he'll come back as a babyface. Now, does that mean they turn him heel 2 weeks later, a month later? Maybe. I don't think necessarily they should. I mean, we'll see what happens. But when he initially comes back, just because, you know, once a guy goes out injured, that's when you really appreciate how good he is or what he's done, especially in the case of somebody like Seth, who is so good.
And, yeah. And,
you know, you miss him and then you're like, thank God he's finally back and you're all excited. You know, so he will get a huge ovation when that time comes. And I don't know if that's going to be, you know, like June, or is it going to be held all the way off until SummerSlam? But, you know, it's going to be a while before we see Seth. And here's the other one is Daniel Bryan, because we still don't know what the hell is going on with him. I mean, so Dr. Maroon said, you're done.
Yeah.
And Daniel has a doctor from the Arizona Cardinals that said, no, you're good. And your brain is probably better than most people your age. And they went to the third doctor and they're still waiting the results of that, I guess. Or there was even, I know the Observer even said they might already have the results from that third doctor. And
oh, wow.
Vince McMahon still isn't sure what he wants to do. Like, he's hemming and hawing, like, I don't know what to do. And even if he is going to let him wrestle, like, who do I put you in there with? And when do I bring you back? Because I don't want you ruining Roman again, because people are going to go nuts for you. So, you know, he's kind of the wild card factor in all of this.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I mean, he was a guy I would have expected to see in the tournament. And that's another guy right there. You know, I was talking earlier about a heel champion and potential challengers. That was another one that I mentioned in my blog, was Daniel Bryan as another potential challenger. I mean, if Reigns is turning heel, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to hold off Bryan maybe bring Bryan back at the Royal Rumble and have him go to WrestleMania to wrestle Reigns. I don't know. Maybe bring him back after the Survivor Series, and you can have him and Reigns, as a buffer until the Rumble. But I don't think it's a bad idea to hold him off if the if the end game is to do something with him and Reigns, with Reigns being a heel champion.
Yeah, I think the one thing that they'd worry about if they were going to put him in that position for Mania is he going to stay healthy? Can we really do that? Here's something too. Okay, we talk about putting him in this tournament, right? So Can you imagine taking out? Okay, I know I'm picking on these three guys, but taking out Titus, taking out Kalisto, taking out Stardust, and you had Taker, Wyatt, and Daniel Bryan in there.
But yeah, I mean, wow.
Could you have done something where people are just going crazy for Daniel Bryan and the comeback story, and we love this guy, and he gets to the finals, and then he turns heel, and then he shows up the next night on Raw, and he's clean shaven, clean haircut, wearing a suit, saying, Triple H got me back here, I just wanted to be the champion, and, whatever he does, right? So that Daniel Bryan heel turn. I think that could have worked too.
I think it would have been great. I mean, Daniel Bryan's already played a great heel. He already played a great heel there, so he could certainly do it again. And, people are going to cheer him anyway, but I think a heel turn would have been awesome, and it would have been something different. I think he would have had a lot of fun with it as well.
Well, just think of it this way too. I mean, I know that I'm going against myself from the standpoint of, can they really trust this guy to put him in that high profile of a position? But the thing is too, when you are a heel, he doesn't have to do the high flying stuff then. I mean, he doesn't have to as a babyface, but he does. But you can work a lot more of a mat-based match and not take as many bumps necessarily, or have a lot more of a controlled match because you are a heel. And you're supposed to do those, more basic dirty things,
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Absolutely. I agree with that. It's been said that he has to change his style when he comes back. I mean, I can't think of a better way to transition to that style than as a heel.
Well, everybody says he's got to change his style. Okay. Oh, to me, he's not really going to change his style. The only thing he's going to change is he's not going to do the dive, from in the ring to outside the ring every match. Mm-hmm. And there's not going to be any more diving headbutts. That's it.
Well, the flying knee too. I mean, he does take some big bumps on that flying knee.
Are you talking about the ones in the corner or what he does?
Yeah,
the
ones where he runs.
In the corner where he's basically taking bumps on his neck. Yeah, maybe. He probably had to cut that off. I mean, his finisher doing the knee in the middle of the ring, I'm fine with that.
There was somebody I heard. There was a veteran I heard recently bring that up, and he made a lot of sense. He brought that up as something that he should change.
Well, maybe he should go back to cattle mutilation?
Yeah, hey, I called a couple of those cattle mutilations of his back in my indie wrestling announcing days, and they were a lot of fun.
Maybe that's what he should go back to then, man.
Yeah.
Go back to submission. Go back to a mat-based guy, and just make people tap out, go do that. I mean, hell, I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, we don't even know if he's coming back. He might get clear, and Vince McMahon says, too big of a risk, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, and that's a whole other can of worms. Like, what do you do at that point? Because his contract is due, in, December or, next December?
Oh, no, he's got two more years. He when he was promoting his book, he said he had three more years left on his deal.
Oh, okay. So, three – I mean, it's still going to go fast. So, at that point, you got to make a decision if you're them.
He's like, Vince, we've got to deal with Evolve. Just let me wrestle there, okay?
Yeah, right?
By the way, I'm not trying to pick on Evolve either. I went to a show on Saturday night here in Orlando.
Okay.
I don't know if they promoted that thing or what. Dude, I did a head count of that place, man. It was like 120 people.
I don't follow the indies that closely, so I can't tell you whether that's good or not.
It was awful, dude. And people were so quiet. It was one of these where it was like in a big gym, and you know how they have like the pull-out rafters?
Sure.
That you sit on? It was like this big room, and like the ring was all the way down on the other side, and right next to it, they pulled out some of the wooden rafters, and that's all it was. It was people sitting there, and then they had, the merch tables like on the side. But man, that place was so quiet. I mean, it got a little louder as, the semifinal and the final match went on, but it was still nothing raucous. And like the undercard was so quiet that like they did a couple FIP matches on the undercard, and the opening match was so quiet that one of the guys was yelling at the crowd.
Wow. That's good times. Good times right there.
Yeah, that was interesting to say the least. And plus, I'm like just sitting there. I went to the show by myself. I'm sitting there next to the one guy that, of course, is making comments out loud, you know.
Oh, of course. There's always one, and you're always next to them.
You know, I'm next to Mr. Smartass, you know. He's like, you know, and you know, he's got to make a comment about everything out loud, and the wrestlers get into it with him a little bit, you know. And I'm like, of course, everybody turns their head, and I'm like, dude, I am in the wrong spot. Now, mind you, it's general admission, so I'm just waiting for my moment to like get up and move, which I did like a couple minutes later. But I was just like, I can't take this anymore.
indie wrestling at its finest.
It was indie-rific.
Indie-rific. I like that.
It was indie-rific. So, well, like I said at the beginning, man, we're going to do this all the time. So you'll come on with me every other week, and I'll go on your podcast every other week, and we can sit here and pontificate and bitch and moan and discuss and all this different stuff. So it'll be good times. And
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, everybody can check out your site. Just go to CamelClutchBlog.com and follow you on Twitter. It's at CamelClutchBlog, and I will talk to you next week on your podcast.
Yes, and I will talk to you on my podcast, and hopefully all your millions of listeners will follow us over there.
And we'll make sure that something big happens the second we stop recording it.
No, we will make sure that the podcast goes up within an hour after recording.
Sounds good, man.
Yes. All right, thanks, Brian.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.